Jeremiah 5 and 26 beginning. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that set a snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? And that's the title of the message. The end thereof. The prophets bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. Amen. And what will you do in the end thereof? What does this expression mean? Well, it's a very simple expression. It simply means this. It's going to come to a stop. It's going to come to an end. And all through this chapter, God speaking through the prophet makes it very plain of Israel's conditions, speaking his wrath and his warnings. Warning after warning is filtered throughout the chapter. Look at verse number 29. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? All things pertaining to this world, Church of God, are coming to an end. Great rulers who have reigned over pagan kingdoms, regardless of their pomp, their power, their splendor, all came to an end. No matter how elevated they may have been, they still came to an end. Great kingdoms and their leaders, regardless of their power and their greatness, came to an end in time. Those who once basked in the truth were thrilled with the services of God, and have left the truth and enjoying the pleasures of worldly pleasure, need to be reminded, it's all coming to an end someday. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here's his choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy. Suffer over enjoyment. Enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure, dear ones, in sin. If it wouldn't be, amen. It wouldn't be so tempting. There's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. A season. What is a season? It's a period of time. Psalm 22 and 2 said, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. He said in the night season, or the time of darkness. You can have a lot of fun throwing away your salvation, going to bars, concerts, dressing the way you want, throwing away all constraint, but it's all going to come be crashing down on you one of these days. The prophet said, what are you going to do in the end thereof? There is an end coming. There have been people leave this congregation, not only this congregation, other congregations. And they found a preacher that would lighten the yoke, who put salve on their wounds. But there's an incoming. And what are you going to tell God at the judgment? How are you going to justify that at the judgment? Do you feel that because of who you are, that he'll accept your reason? 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is at hand. What did he say? Be ye therefore sober. Watch under prayer. Ones were enjoying themselves before the flood. Turn with me in the book of Genesis. Let's review this a little bit this morning. Genesis is 6th chapter. We're going to read just a few verses there to get the essence. Verse number 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet the days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. It came to pass, or time had moved on to the next happenings. The population had multiplied, and so did the sin. The scripture says in Genesis 6:2, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, if you go to commentaries, different commentaries, you're going to get all kinds of explanations for this verse. And he's not talking about angels or heavenly beings marrying earthly women. Somebody said, how do you know? Well, let's look at the scriptures. Matthew 22:30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Mark 12:25. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Angels don't marry. Luke 20:35, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor be given in marriage. The angels don't marry or are given in marriage, so the number of the angels remains the same. Genesis 4:26, what was going on? Genesis 4:26, and to Seth, him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. There were two different generations of people at that time. There was also those after the generation of Cain. If you read in Genesis 4:19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. This is the first mention of polygamy in the Bible. Amen. And it was a mixture of those two types of generation that proved, amen, that brought forth wickedness. Again in verse 2 in Genesis 6, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they chose them wives of all which they chose. Mixed beliefs produce something. Out of those marriages came wickedness to the place where men were actually fit for destruction. Think of that. Fit for destruction. Genesis 6:4 said, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, amen, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw, all the while this is going on, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thought, or every form of the thought of his heart, was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart. The earth was being replenished with violence, warriors, and great sinners. And God repented, or was, amen, was sorry not that he changed, but that man had changed, amen, and become, amen, very wicked in that day. Men apostatized from the right way. So God said, the human race has come to an end. But God found grace, or Noah found grace, in the eyes of the Lord. God used Noah. Amen. And man was given 120 years. And then the end was to come. God help those this morning who have went astray to realize, Church of God, there's an end coming. An end coming. And Jeremiah said, what do you do? What are you going to do in the end thereof? 8 out of 8 million were saved. And just because of the righteousness of one man, those other 7 were saved. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Amen. It's a dangerous thing to once know the Lord, amen, and turn around and depart from him. 2 Peter 2:20 says this, for if after they escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You ever notice how sin works? Amen. Works just contrary. Amen. Sin always tells you contrary to the scripture. Sin always tells you this, yeah, maybe I'm not going to serve God like I should, but I'm not going to go back like I did before. I'm not going to do the same things that I did before. I had that in my mind at one time. What happened? I did worse. Once you've tasted the good things of God, the world, amen, will never satisfy. Amen, when you turn back to it. Luke, the 17th chapter, verse 26, it said, it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, given in marriage until the day, right up until that day, that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. What was going on in Noah's day? The Genesis says wickedness was great. But Luke says eating, drinking, marrying, giving to marriage. Wickedness had so overtaken them they felt secure and went right on with a normal lifestyle. Same as today. Ones feel secure, untroubled with their lifestyle as they continue working their jobs, things are going good, eating, drinking, having a good time. But the end came, just like it's going to do any day now when the Lord says, it's enough. What's happening today? Well, ones have no problem dressing like the world, going to worldly events, and feel just as secure as a Christian who has denied those things. What's happened? What happens to people? Where did all that fervency for the work of God go? Why do one so easily divide today. Has it been that many years ago, I can remember, that if you left a congregation, especially a congregation still in truth, you were considered unspiritual, backslid, a church hopper. But today, one can leave several congregations and still be considered a member in good standing in the church of God. What has happened? How did that come about? Now, there are several things that affects one's spiritual walk. But Jesus, we know, has promised to keep us through them in the midst of the trial. But what happens to people? How can people do that? I just tell you, I just bare my soul. Yesterday, at the service, the memorial service, I saw ones going to that casket, unmoved. Unmoved. And I know the lifestyle they've been living, but they were unmoved and could go up there and try to, amen, console and help somebody else. How could that happen? How can that happen? Amen. Their spirit changes. People have to understand that. Their spirit changes. They're different. They're thinking. Amen. Everything is different about them. Go to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 10. We're seeing this scripture today come to pass. Amen. We used to read over that scripture, read over that scripture, read over that. I've heard it preached on many times. But as I look at that scripture today, I look at it in a different light than I used to. This is what's happening, dear souls, dear church of God, today. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now that just doesn't mean they didn't love the Bible or didn't love truth in the Bible. The truth, amen, is more than just what's in the Word of God. Truth in general. For this cause, for this reason, God shall send them not just a weak spirit, a strong delusion. And it has to be strong that you should believe a lie. They become deceived, thinking they're right when they're wrong, and others can see it, but they can't. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What happens first? Giving heed, giving attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you know when somebody leaves a congregation, they'll work overtime to get others to leave that same congregation? Why? That spirit's under strong delusion. Amen. People give heed to seducing spirits first, before they ever change their doctrine. Amen. In Noah's days, they become secure in their wickedness. They went right on eating, drinking, Luke said, marrying, giving in marriage. Amen. The Bible says all the former of their thoughts, the imagination of their thoughts, was evil. In that condition, the preaching did not faze them one bit. 2 Peter 2:5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. These people, amen, were considered ungodly. These people in Noah's day refused divine protection. And then came, and the door entering the ark was shut. Noah didn't shut it. His sons didn't shut it. God shut it. Turn me Genesis. Let's go to the 7th chapter. Verse 13. And the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah unto the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. Revelation 3 and 8, I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Jesus has control of the door. What was going on before the flood? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving the marriage. They're very busy people, feeling secure, going right on with their normal lifestyle, while wickedness controlled their heart, their thoughts, to the place that made them unfit to remain on this earth. What did they do when the end came? Well, one thing for sure they did. They perished without God. They were lost forever as the end came. The faithfulness of God stands out in these scriptures in sending a preacher to turn them back, amen, to the righteousness of that day. Let's move on to another people who were not ready when the end came. Let's stay right in the book of Luke. Let's read on a little bit farther. Luke the 17th chapter, verse 27. They did eat. We're going to read what we just read. They drank, the married wives were given to marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. Now, what was going on in Lot's day? They ate. They drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now Luke pins something about both these days that were the same. What? Necessary things. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage. Those are things that we are involved in, amen, as a people here on this earth right now. So wrapped up in living, they had no time for God. It didn't say that they were in the bar rooms or the honky-tonks, but they were overwhelmed with necessary things. Ezekiel, 16th chapter. Something about Sodom that people don't read much, but it's here. Verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Did you know that Sodom was a city with, you might say in that day, everything? Everything they needed? Turn me to Genesis 13 and 10. Let's read about Sodom. Genesis 13 and 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes, beheld all the plain of Jordan, that is well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah even as the garden of the Lord. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Sodom was very well off. Luke said they had fullness of bread. And he went on to say they weren't about to share it with others. Sodom also was a very prideful city. And pride always leads to destruction. But all these attributes led to other sins that were prevalent in Sodom. Turn me to Genesis 18th chapter. Whatever was going on in Sodom got God's attention to the place he visited. He actually come to the city himself. The Word and the Spirit paid a visit to Sodom. And we're going to read about it. Genesis 18 and 20, the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. And if not, I'll know. Here the Lord mentions a sin, amen, that was grievous, he said. Their sin is very grievous. Amen. Well, let's read about it. Let's read about it. Turn with me to Genesis, the 19th chapter. Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And I like to say that those two angels would represent the Word and the Spirit. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet him. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night. Wash your feet, you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And he said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. Amen. And they turned in unto him, entered into his house. He made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. He said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do you to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And he said, stand back. And he said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and he will need to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Amen. Eating, drinking, buying, selling, building. But out of that, with no time for God, comes some grievous sins. The sin of being gay and lesbians stood out in Sodom. Today we have an organization called the LGBTQIA. Well, it got its start back in Sodom. And it's nothing new. It's Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. The thing that hath been and is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Our nation is full of the sin. But just like Sodom, it's going to come to an end. I know it's highly accepted today and labeled another lifestyle. Just like adultery is labeled an affair. You don't read in the, amen, you don't read in the papers, tabloids, I don't read them, but you can see the, you can see, amen, the front page of them going through lines. They don't call it adultery, they call it affairs. But the Bible calls it adultery. Amen. What happened to Sodom? The land of having need of nothing. Fullness of bread. Genesis 19:27 says, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Amen. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, all that good land, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. When he overthrew the cities of the in the which Lot dwelt. There is an end coming, church, for every one of us. As far as this earthly life is concerned. We don't know when that is. I preached a brother's service yesterday that was 38 years old. And the one during the preaching, you could turn his age around, 83. You don't know when the end is coming. But it's on the trail of every one of us. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, and in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. God took this world out, heaven into this world out, amen, in the book of Genesis, with water. This time, amen, everything's going to be dissolved with fire. Our text says this, what will you do in the end thereof? Well, I don't know what everyone is going to do, but I know what the child of God is going to do. He or she is going to be ready for whatever happens. There are not a dozen ways to be ready. There's only one, and that is repentance and forsaking of sin. Some have never made a public display of repentance. They've never come down to the altar. Why is that? Could it be pride? Could it be embarrassment? Why they wouldn't come to an altar? Well, let me give you a couple of scriptures just to think about. Just to think about. Turn with me to Matthew, the 10th chapter. I want you to think about these two scriptures. Now, we know that this altar up here doesn't save anybody. We know that. It's convenient. It's the right height to bend down. Amen. To put your arms here or whatever and pray. It's a convenient place to pray. And we know it doesn't save anybody. Our altar, we know, is Jesus Christ. Amen. But let me give you these two scriptures to think about. Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse number 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Just think on those two scriptures right there. Just think. Those that will be ashamed of God, he'll also be ashamed of. In closing, thank God there's forgiveness for every sin. Whether it be the sin of Sodom, the drunk on the street, the druggie on the street, there's forgiveness. And there's a change that can take place in one's life. The end is coming. And I know that doesn't move people as they've heard that before. And it didn't move the people before the flood. It didn't move the people before Sodom and Gomorrah. Right. So it's nothing new that people aren't moved today. But the end is coming. Amen. And if you cannot see the extreme wickedness in our country, then there's something wrong with your discernment. But not only in our country, but also in our own private lives, is coming to an end. Jeremiah asked a question. You have to answer it. What will you do in the end thereof? If all of a sudden you got the word, bad news on your health, what you going to do? What you going to do? Noah preached 120 years, did not move one soul. His family got in because of Noah. Lot had to be delivered out of Sodom only because he was akin to Abraham. And with that came his daughters and a wife to look back. The cry went out, God's going to destroy it. Did not move a person. Preachers can preach today, and the fear of God's been lifted off of people. Why? Go back to Sodom's day and go back to the days of Noah. They're busy eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, wrapped up in the things of this life, so that that day just overtook them. Amen. Jeremiah asked that question. What will you do in the end thereof? As we close, it would be wise if you did this. If you would ask God to search your heart, be real about it. Ask God to search your heart. And see if there be anything that would cause you to not be ready whenever the end would come for your life.